Claudia Tenney is seeking the New York 22nd District seat, and she is trying to take over from Richard Hanna, who is retiring. Ms. Tenney, what's at the top of your list that will help you win this election?
Good morning. Yes, the top of my list is, of course, the same thing that you hear all the politicians talk about. But for me, it's personal, and that's jobs. I'm the owner of a small business, a small manufacturing business that was started by my grandfather in 1946.
And what do you make?
We do pharmaceutical packaging and some for food industry. Like, we do small paperboard boxes, wow, folding cartons, and that's... We originally started out as the printer for Norwich Pharmacal Company, and we did labels and packaging. For example, we did all the Pepto-Bismol cartons and labels in the world at one point, but unfortunately those have been shipped out of state, so we're no longer doing those. But we do a wide variety of products from name brands to generic brand boxes and packaging for companies throughout the country. And so it's a tough place to do business in New York State, and I also ran our newspaper division before I even got involved in politics, which was we owned weekly newspapers, including what was known as the Mid York Weekly, and we also had a shopper division known as Penny Saver. So I ran those businesses until we sold them in 2004. Very difficult to compete in upstate New York against daily newspapers and other businesses that get subsidies from government, which is why I'm such a proponent of small businesses and small business owners, because I know what it's like to run a small business against a subsidized big business, and I know that small businesses create 70% of the new jobs in our communities, and even in greater numbers throughout the 22nd Congressional District in upstate New York, where so much of our community has been lost to these large multinational companies. So that's the main issue that I'm running on, and that I've always stood for. Actually, back when I first ran for the Assembly in 2010, you know, my mission was to reduce taxes, regulations, and to try to make New York more business-friendly. Unfortunately, we have a governor that doesn't understand the importance of small businesses and family farms, the tradition of our farms. So, you know, we've seen a dramatic loss in that, and we've also sent members of Congress who don't understand the dynamic of small business ownership and entrepreneurship. So it's something that I've been fighting for, and I will continue to do so, hopefully, as a member of the House.
So how do you keep business in the States as opposed to letting it go abroad?
Well, part of the problem is that you continue to tax businesses and put unnecessary regulations on them, really just to meet the needs of some personal agenda of a politician. And as a member of the State Assembly, I've seen that time and again with the thousands of bills that we pass. Many of them would be terrible for business, lack common sense, have a nice moniker to them. They sound great, but they're a disaster when they're applied in the real life. A perfect example is a bill that was first passed called the Wage Theft Prevention Act that was passed and signed into law by Governor Patterson, put into effect when I first took office in 2011, and it's been terrible for small businesses. It just adds more costs, more money, and it's just one of many burdensome regulations that we put on our small business owners and make us less competitive. Another issue that I think is really important is the issue of trade, and I think that our trade, NAFTA, TPP, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Trans-Pacific Authority, I think that those have been poorly drafted, and they actually favor outside interests and big national big international companies over our small business owners, and make the ability of our businesses in the United States unable to compete fairly on an international basis. And that's hurt us with China manipulating currency, with the loss of our sovereignty of our own businesses abroad. I think these are going to be devastating and continue to provide a huge trade in deficit that we can no longer afford to have here in the United States. And that's something they've also been standing up on. I wrote a piece about it last year, just discussing the impact it's had on my own family business, my own manufacturing business, which has been negative.
Well, of course,
we lost jobs just because of a business that was moved to Mexico because of a better trade arrangement with Mexico at getting the advantage over one of our local customers.
Obviously, you're going to be in the majority here. You're in the Assembly, you're in the minority, but you'll be in the majority going into the Congress, and obviously...
Let's hope.
I'm just assuming that you win, and so I'm asking, What will the first thing you do to correct the situation be? Will you offer up corrective legislation?
Yes, absolutely. I first of all would offer legislation to renegotiate and relook at some of these the TPP, TPA, making sure that we continue. We don't take one of the things that is interesting is I'm a shopper. I like to go out and find out where things are. And one of the things that's not going to be included in the new TPA, if it's to be approved, is what they call COOL, or country of origin labeling. The countries, we're not going to have to know that something was made in China or made somewhere when we go into shop. And I think that we should keep that so that we know that we can buy something that's made in the USA and know that the importance of it. That's one of the first things I'd like to do is put any kind of repeal or renegotiation of that and go back in and take the TPA, TPP, and require that any of these trade agreements go back to, if there's any substantial change or anything in them, go back to the Congress for them to weigh in on it. Right now, under the current TPP, if it's to be passed, the ultimate agreement, this agreement now concerns 11 Pacific Rim countries. China could be added in what is called docking language. That means you can add another country later. That doesn't require the approval of the Congress. It is all done at the executive level with the president. And to me, that's unconstitutional. Any change in any of these documents should go back to the Congress to reconsider. We can't just add China or add another country on without having the authority of the Congress to go back through. That's one of the enumerated powers given to Congress. It's the Commerce Clause, it's through trade, and it's through treaties and international agreements. Giving that up to the president was a huge error, and I think it was a big mistake. And that was done by the majority, by the way, by the House Republicans. It was done by the Senate. And the president took the authority and took it and is going to be using that when they ultimately pass this. We'll see, but they're likely going to do it by the end of the year. That's one of the first things I'd like to do to see change. And by the way, I've been talking about this since last year, long before Donald Trump ever got into the trade issue. I know a lot of the unions that I represent and help in our communities. I represent Remington Arms, which is, you know, right in the heart of the 101st Assembly District and also in the 22nd Congressional District. We want to be sure that our American companies are strong and are able to compete on an international level. And I think this is what's happening if you look through Rust Belt countries, Rust Belt states like ours, like New York and Northeast. You know, we need to bring these jobs back to our country. We need to lower the tax rates to lure people, get these businesses to come back to produce jobs. We can still have decent wages. It's the cost of shipping from overseas really kind of nullifies the wage problem. I mean, it's sort of a phony argument to say that the wages are the huge problem. The problem is the shipping costs. If we were to build the goods here, I think it would actually work out as a net gain for our companies. But right now, the taxation is so high. And the restrictions on bringing that money and that wealth back to the United States makes it almost impossible for us to bring it back. So that would be one of the first things I'd like to see done in Congress, and that involves, obviously, a series of reducing taxes and giving benefits to our companies and encourage them to come back and reinvest in the United States.
Well, Republican candidate Assemblywoman Claudia Tenney seeking New York's 22nd district seat. When we come back, I'm going to ask you the inevitable question, so get ready for the next time, and it's going to be Donald Trump.